The scripture reading this afternoon is 2 Chronicles chapter 31. And we take the whole passage as the text this afternoon. It will be profitable to keep our Bibles open to 2 Chronicles 31. Hezekiah and Judah and even many from the 10 tribes of Israel had just celebrated the Passover feast in Jerusalem. And that's where chapter 31 picks up. Now when all this was finished, all Israel that were present went out to the cities of Judah and brake the images in pieces and cut down the groves and threw down the high places and the altars out of all Judah and Benjamin, in Ephraim also and Manasseh, until they had utterly destroyed them all. Then all the children of Israel returned, every man to his possession, into their own cities. And Hezekiah appointed the courses of the priests and the Levites after their courses, every man according to his service, the priests and Levites for burnt offerings and for peace offerings, to minister and to give thanks and to praise in the gates of the tents of the Lord. He appointed also the king's portion of his substance for the burnt offerings, to wit, for the morning and evening burnt offerings, and the burnt offerings for the Sabbaths, and for the new moons, and for the set feasts, as it is written in the law of the Lord. Moreover, he commanded the people that dwelt in Jerusalem to give the portion of the priests and the Levites, that they might be encouraged in the law of the Lord. And as soon as the commandment came abroad, the children of Israel brought in abundance, the first fruits of corn, wine, and oil, and honey, and of all the increase of the field. And the tithe of all things brought they in abundantly. And concerning the children of Israel and Judah that dwelt in the cities of Judah, they also brought in the tithe of oxen and sheep, and the tithe of holy things which were consecrated unto the Lord their God, and laid them by heaps. In the third month they began to lay the foundation of the heaps, and finished them in the seventh month. And when Hezekiah and the princes came and saw the heaps, they blessed the Lord and his people Israel. Then Hezekiah questioned with the priests and the Levites concerning the heaps. And Azariah, the chief priest of the house of Zadok, answered him and said, "Since the people began to bring the offerings into the house of the Lord, we have had enough to eat and have left plenty. For the Lord hath blessed his people, and that which is left is this great store." Then Hezekiah commanded to prepare chambers in the house of the Lord, and they prepared them, and brought in the offerings and the tithes and the dedicated things faithfully, over which Conaniah the Levite was ruler, and Shimei his brother was the next. And Jehiel and Azaziah and Nahath and Asahel and Jeremoth and Jozabad and Eliel and Ismachiah and Mahath and Benaiah were overseers under the hand of Conaniah and Shimei his brother, at the commandment of Hezekiah the king and Azariah the ruler of the house of God. And Korah the son of Imnah the Levite, the porter toward the east, was over the freewill offerings of God to distribute the oblations of the Lord and the most holy things. And next him were Eden and Miniamin and Jeshua and Shemaiah, Amariah and Shechaniah in the cities of the priests in their set office to give to their brethren by courses as well to the great as to the small. Beside their genealogy of males from 3 years old and upward, even unto everyone that entereth into the house of the Lord, his daily portion for their service in their charges according to their courses, both to the genealogy of the priests by the house of their fathers and the Levites from 20 years old and upward in their charges by their courses, and to the genealogy of all their little ones, their wives and their sons and their daughters, through all the congregation, for in their set office they sanctified themselves in holiness. Also of the sons of Aaron, the priests, which were in the fields of the suburbs of their cities, in every several city, the men that were expressed by name, to give portions to all the males among the priests, and to all that were reckoned by genealogies among the Levites. And thus did Hezekiah throughout all Judah, and wrought that which was good and right and truth before the Lord his God. And in every work that he began in the service of the house of God, and in the law, and in the commandments, to seek his God, he did it with all his heart and prospered. So far the reading of God's holy, infallible word. May God place his blessing upon the reading of that word. Beloved congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, in the last two sermons we have had on Hezekiah, we have seen part of the great reformation that took place in the first 2 months of Hezekiah's reign. We have seen how Hezekiah cleansed the temple and restored the temple to its rightful place at the center of the nation's religious life. We saw that in chapter 29. The people dedicated themselves and worshipped the Lord properly once again. And we have also seen in chapter 30 how the Passover feast was celebrated with great rejoicing. And we saw how the Passover was celebrated not just by Judah, but also by the Israelites from the northern 10 tribes who listened to Hezekiah's call to come and worship. This afternoon, we continue to look at the Reformation work Hezekiah carried out and the further steps Hezekiah took in leading the people into the right worship of the Lord. We could put it also this way. This afternoon, we look at what happened after the Passover feast was celebrated. In chapter 30, we looked at how the people celebrated the Passover feast. This afternoon, we look at the impact that that celebration had on the people and how they responded to the Passover feast. And from that point of view, this chapter, 2 Chronicles 31, fits in very well with an applicatory sermon this afternoon, as these events show us how we are to respond to what we enjoyed in the Lord's Supper this morning. Well, right away from verse 1, we see that one of the impacts of the Passover and celebrating the Passover was a greater zeal to worship only the Lord. We read in verse 1 that as the people returned to their homes, as they left Jerusalem from the Passover feast, they smashed all the idols, they cut down all the Asherah poles, other kinds of idols, and they threw down all the high places and altars out of all Judah and Benjamin, and even going into Ephraim and Manasseh. After enjoying communion with God at the Lord's Supper, at the Passover, after experiencing the Lord's tender mercy, showing them His forgiveness, there was kindled within the people a holy indignation towards sin and towards everything that was offensive to God. The idols had been cleansed out of the temple, chapter 29. The idols had been cleansed out of all Jerusalem, the city, chapter 30. And now the idols are being cleansed out of all the nation of Judah. That should be how we respond to what we celebrated this morning at the Lord's Supper. After seeing God's gracious favor towards us, after being reminded of Christ's great sacrifice for our sins, we should have a burning zeal to get rid of all remaining sin within us and be entirely devoted to the Lord. Well, that was the first impact that the Passover feast had upon the people. The second impact was this. The people were ready to continue to worship the Lord consistently through the rest of the year. And with the events going the way they were, Hezekiah saw the need to restore a system so that the proper worship of the Lord could continue to take place throughout the rest of the year. So this was the next step in Hezekiah's reformation, to restore the system of worship that God had given to His people so that the proper worship of the Lord could now be carried out on a daily basis. Hezekiah had to set up all the infrastructure, you might say, all the seemingly mundane and ordinary activities, so that not only could the Passover be carried out, but that throughout the rest of the year, the temple could be open for worship. Well, when we read this chapter, it may seem that there is little of spiritual interest for us in these verses. And we might say to ourselves, this chapter only seems to be telling us about the assignments that Hezekiah gives to the priests and the Levites. However, there is a great deal of instruction that these verses give to us. There is practical instruction in these verses. This chapter is eminently practical. And the instruction these verses give us is exactly this. The chapter teaches us the importance of serving the Lord in everyday things. What is so significant and beautiful about this chapter is the fact that everything recorded in this chapter represents lifestyle changes that the people were making. What is described in these verses is not a momentary flash of zeal for God's glory and then a gradual puttering out and walking again in sin. Instead, what is described is a putting in place of a system, an infrastructure that would promote practical godliness among God's people and keep them steadily walking in the ways of the Lord on a weekly and monthly and yearly basis. And that's practical. And that's significant for all of us. And that's also significant for those of us who are raising little children in the home. To have in place in our homes an infrastructure, a system of habits and routines that promotes godliness is so fundamental to the raising of covenant children. As we all know, our lives are lived in the mundane activities of our day-to-day lives. And so to have lifestyle patterns in place in our homes to help us serve the Lord in everyday things is of utmost importance. It's important for young families to have a routine in place, a system of worship in place to help them remain faithful to the baptism vows they have made. Because if you don't have that infrastructure, that setup in place, it's so very easy to go away from the worship of the Lord, to go away from celebrating the Lord's Supper, and go home and remain unchanged and never make progress in holy living and remain consistent. Hezekiah knew that the people needed something that would enable them to know what God's Word taught and to retain that teaching and grow in it. So he restored a system of ministry. That's what we look at this afternoon. Hezekiah's restoration of a system of ministry. And we look at that theme under 3 points. First, restoring the priests and Levites in their roles, verses 2 through 10. Then restoring a system to distribute provisions, verses 11 through 19, and then restoring a kingly example of godliness, verses 20 and 21. It was good to reopen the doors of the temple and to celebrate the Passover. But unless there were men who would keep the temple open and who would be there for the people when the people brought their sacrifices and who were able to teach the people and lead the people in the worship of the Lord, all of these advances Hezekiah was making in the first 2 months of his reign would soon be lost. The men whom God had appointed for that very task were the priests and Levites. And so we read in verse 2, "And Hezekiah appointed the courses of the priests and the Levites after their courses, every man according to his service, the priests and Levites, for burnt offerings and for peace offerings, to minister, and also to give thanks, and also to praise in the gates of the tents of the Lord." Priests and Levites, Hezekiah said, do your assigned work. The Levites were one of the 12 tribes of Israel. They were the tribe that had been set apart to perform those tasks connected with the temple and the worship of the Lord, specifically. What were these tasks? Well, some of the Levites were given the task of helping the priests with the sacrifices at the temple and maintaining the temple building. Some of the Levites were treasury officials who looked after the tithes and the offerings that were received. Some of the Levites were gatekeepers who made sure that only genuine worshipers and acceptable offerings entered into the temple precincts, the temple area. Other Levites were assigned to be singers, to praise the Lord. There was regular daily singing performed at the gates. And there were other responsibilities the Levites had. The family of Aaron was that family from the tribe of Levi that was separated from the rest of the tribe of Levi for an even greater privilege, to minister at the altar of the Lord where sacrifices were offered. The family of Aaron was where the priests came from. During the reign of David, the priests had been divided into 24 divisions. And these divisions rotated through every 2 weeks so that each division had a time of the year in which they could be at Jerusalem and serving at the temple, carrying out the sacrifices. Well, as we all know, the reality is this. If you're going to have Levites and priests constantly at the temple and ready to serve the people in worshiping the Lord, it takes commitment and it takes money. It costs money to offer sacrifices. It takes money to feed the Levites and the priests and their families. It costs money to maintain the proper worship of the Lord. And the people had lived probably so many years under King Ahaz, not having to pay their tithes, not making their contributions, that now if these Levites and priests were going to take up their work again in the temple and elsewhere, everyone else in the nation needed to take up their role as well in supporting the priests and Levites with what they and their families needed. Otherwise, the priests and Levites wouldn't be able to do their work. To teach the people how to prioritize for the giving of the support of the ministry, King Hezekiah gave himself as a beautiful example. And we see that in verse 3. He appointed also the king's portion of his substance for the burnt offerings. What he as king was expected to give, he gave for the burnt offerings. To wit, for the morning and evening burnt offerings and the burnt offerings for the Sabbaths and for the new moons and for the set feasts, as it is written in the law of the Lord. Hezekiah kickstarted the whole process of helping to support the priests and Levites by giving of his own resources in abundance. He gave himself as an example. But then in verse 4, we read of Hezekiah giving a command to all the people. In verse 4, moreover, he commanded the people that dwelt in Jerusalem to give the portion of the priests and the Levites, that they might be encouraged in the law of the Lord. What Hezekiah was doing here was only enforcing upon the people what God had already called the people to do. Back in Numbers chapter 18 and in other passages, we read of how the first fruits of all the land were to be given to the priests and their families to live off of. The people had to give the priests the first things that they received from the land. The Levites received the tithes that the people offered to the Lord. And what was the reason Hezekiah had to command all these tithes from the people? We read at the end of verse 4 that they might be encouraged in the law of the Lord. The idea is this, so that the priests and Levites might be able to devote themselves to the law of the Lord, so that they might be encouraged to devote all their time to God's word. You see, the priests and the Levites could have supported themselves by working the small parcels of land that had been given to them in the cities that had been assigned to them throughout the land of Judah. Yet, to do so, to expect them to live off of the land, would have distracted them from the more important task of studying the law and applying God's word to the people and teaching God's word and leading the people in worship. Hezekiah wanted to ensure that nothing was going to prevent the priests and Levites from doing their important work in being the spiritual leaders of the people. What was the response of the people to this command? We read in verse 5 that as soon as the commandment came abroad, the children of Israel, not just Judah, but even those from Israel, brought in abundance, all the things necessary for the support of the ministry. All the obligations God had given to them, all the tithing, all the first fruits, all the best of the animals, the people gave them freely and willingly in abundance. So much so that we read in verses 8 through 10, there was so much food, Hezekiah had to make chambers, rooms, to store all the extra food that the people were giving. The people weren't saying, "Is there enough? Is there enough?" No, they were saying, "I want to give too," no matter how much has already been given. So what we see in the passage is Hezekiah restoring to the priests and Levites their roles, and then restoring to the people their obligations that they had towards the priests and Levites, so that the priests and Levites could carry out their roles at the temple, restoring a system of ministry. Let us reflect for a little bit on these things. What is significant about all that we see taking place here in verses 2 through 10? Well, there are a number of things to point out. First and foremost, what needs to be pointed out is this. This was the response of the people who had just celebrated the Lord's Supper. This was the response of the people who had just celebrated and enjoyed the Lord's fellowship and the Lord's mercy and forgiveness. That was the explanation for their generous and willing giving. They realized what God had done for them and they were thankful. The message of the great Passover feast had sunk in. And so, like the psalmist, the people were asking, "What shall I render to the Lord for all His benefits to me? How shall my soul, by grace restored, give worthy thanks, O Lord, to Thee?" And this was their answer. "I shall give of all that I have to the cause of the glory of the Lord, so that when the King commands me to give, I will give generously. Even if there's an overabundance so that new storage rooms need to be made, I will give generously. I will give my first fruits because the Lord has given so much to me." And we can see how that applies to us this afternoon. What motivates how we use what God has given us? What motivates how I give of my offerings to the Lord? Is it thankfulness for what I have received in Jesus Christ? Is it thankfulness for the sacrifice Christ has made for me? As Jesus says in Matthew 10, verse 8, "Freely have you received, freely give." That's the explanation for why the people acted this way. Second, what also needs to be pointed out is this. Through their own giving, the people were setting themselves up for spiritual prosperity. They gave and they gave, and they were setting themselves up for prosperity. They were giving exactly so that the priests and Levites would be freed from the demands of earning a living. Now they could devote themselves to doing the Lord's work in the temple. That was their earning of a living, you might say. This Old Testament arrangement is a pattern for what we read also in the New Testament. The work of the ministry in the New Testament is a full-time work that requires full-time support. The Scripture saith, "Thou shalt not muzzle the ox that treadeth out the corn," and the laborer is worthy of his hire, his reward. Ministers of the Word, like the priests and Levites, should be busy in the work of preaching and teaching. They ought not to entangle themselves in civilian affairs. We give out of our offerings for the support of the ministry, and in turn, we set ourselves up for spiritual prosperity. Third, what also needs to be pointed out is this. When the people actually started to obey the word of the Lord, they began to see just how much the Lord had actually given them. What must have previously been unimaginable now became a reality when the people took God's word at face value and they obeyed it. There was an overflowing of resources. What does God say in Malachi 3, verse 10? He says, test me. Bring in your tithes into the storehouse and test me. And I will show you how I can open up the floodgates of heaven and pour out so many blessings upon you that you will have no room for it all." The people of Hezekiah's day obeyed, and there was no room for all that God had given them. We read in verse 8, there were heaps of food. And the people were probably saying to themselves, "Where did all this come from?" But the Lord was showing them that He delighted in their generosity and giving. Now, on the occasion of baptism this afternoon, we can apply all these remarks also to the raising of our covenant children. First of all, as covenant parents, we also have tasted and seen that the Lord is good. We enjoyed that this morning at the Lord's Supper. Our sins are forgiven. We don't deserve it, but God loves us so much, He sent Jesus Christ to die on the cross for our sins. And now it is in response to that, and what we enjoyed and celebrated at the Lord's Supper, that we now freely come to the front of church and make those weighty, life-defining vows that we make. I will raise up this child in the fear of the Lord to the utmost of my power. We make those vows and we make them willingly because we have tasted and seen that the Lord is good. Secondly, as covenant parents, in making our baptism vows and in keeping these baptism vows, we are setting our own homes up for spiritual prosperity and great joy. When I obey God's commands, the King's commands, when I serve God in the mundane, everyday moments of life, when I serve God by setting up an infrastructure, a system of worship, and a system of ministry in my own home, where family and personal devotions are able to be routine things, and I do this for myself and I do this for my children to be faithful to my covenant vows, the reality is also this: I am setting myself up and my home for spiritual prosperity and joy. And as I do this together with all God's people, as one body, we together are working for the spiritual prosperity and joy of the congregation as a whole. And that's my deepest delight too. Because you see, when I give of my tithes and offerings to the temple in Jerusalem, that's not just me benefiting from it, but everyone else benefits from it, as the priests and Levites do their work. And thirdly, as covenant parents, when we are faithful to the Lord's commands, this is how God deals with us. He says, "You are faithful to my commands, and I will show you just how spiritually rich I can make you." God says, "Mr. and Mrs. Room." He says, "Reverend and Mrs. Geikelar, serve me faithfully in the little things. Serve me faithfully in the daily things of life and with all the rest of God's people together, and I will show you just how good I am. Be rich towards me. Be rich towards my people. And in my perfect wisdom and love, and in the way that I know is best, I will be rich towards you." And then we are also reminded, it's not up to me to decide how to raise this covenant child. This child is the Lord's. So I raise this child according to the Lord's will, and He will be faithful. So there was a restoring of the priests and Levites to their roles. But not only was there that, but now with all those resources coming into the temple, all the people giving, there would also be the need to have a redistribution system to distribute all the provisions that were coming in for the priests and Levites. And that's verses 11 through 19. A system was put in place to gather the gifts of God's people and to distribute them among the priests and Levites. First, in verse 11, we see at Hezekiah's command that storehouses were prepared to receive the tithes and offerings the people brought in. The people made sure to be good stewards of the things God gave them. Second, in verses 12 and 13, we see supervisors being appointed by Hezekiah to manage these storerooms. And for that work, of being supervisors and manage the rooms, Hezekiah appointed the Levite Konaniah, and his brother Shimei was next to him. So they would receive the food. Then in verses 14 and 15, we have a group of distributors being appointed to distribute the provisions among the priests and Levites. Korah was appointed to oversee the distribution of the provisions. And then fourth, beginning already in verses 15 and going down through verse 19, guidelines are given for how the offerings ought to be administered, how the food and the resources ought to be distributed. Well, about these guidelines, we read in verses 15 through 19, there are a few things worthy of comment. First, in verse 15, guidelines are given to distribute to the priests who lived in the cities outside of Jerusalem. There were those towns and cities outside of Jerusalem that were given to the priests. Then in verse 16, we read how distribution was also made to all those within the city of Jerusalem who were serving at the temple in Jerusalem. So the point is, in verses 15 and 16, all the priests are being taken care of. Distribution for all of them. Second, in verse 16, we read that the support was to be given to the priests even from the time they were 3 years old. That's striking. Evidently, there were young boys working in the temple from 3 years old and upwards. And they too were given an allowance, given a portion of what was received. Evidently, these young boys were following in the footsteps of young Samuel, who from the age that he was weaned from his mother, he was given to the Lord to serve in the tabernacle at Shiloh. And we might say, what's the value of having such young children there at the temple? Well, as young as these children were, they were learning to serve the Lord. They were being prepared for a life of service. I think that's something nice to notice at the time of baptism. How little our children are. How good it is for them to be in the house of the Lord. In church, worshiping with God's people. Learning to serve the Lord. We should also never underestimate what a child can learn at even the age of 3 or 4 years old. Scripture teaches us to have high hopes for our children and to train them from a very early age. Third, in verse 17, we read that provision was given also to the Levites. So now not just the priests, but the Levites, and the Levites from the age of 20 years and up. And not just the Levites, but also their wives and children too. They received support from the offerings that the people so generously gave. What is significant, what stands out about this passage of Scripture, verses 11 through 19, is this. That three times, in verse 12 and in verse 15 and verse 18, the emphasis is on how the Levites were faithful with all this work that was assigned to them. In verse 12, we read, and brought in the offerings and the tithes and the dedicated things faithfully. Konaniah and the supervisors were faithful. In verse 15, we read, and next him were Eden and Miniamin and Jeshua and Shemaiah and Amariah and Shechaniah in the cities of the priests in their set office. And that phrase, set office, is emphasizing the idea of faithfulness. They were faithful in the position God had given them. In their set office, they did their work. And in verse 18, you read that phrase again. Verse 18, and to the genealogy of all their little ones, their wives and their sons and their daughters, through all the congregation, for in their set office, they sanctified themselves in holiness. Again, that phrase, set office, has the idea of faithfulness. They were faithful and diligent in devoting themselves to the work. You see, these men were all given a work to do, a job to do, and they did it. And these jobs that these men were given were not so glamorous jobs. These Levites here they weren't at the temple helping the priests making the sacrifices. These Levites here were not walking around in public teaching the people as public figures. No, these Levites were working behind the scenes, making sure that everyone of the priests and Levites was getting the food he needed. These were, in fact, rather mundane tasks. In fact, how much more mundane can you get than that? This was just a regular job, managing food for others. Transporting food, taking stock of inventory, all that kind of work. But you see, these Levites were faithful. And when the king came to inspect their work, he saw that it had been done well. And though it was mundane work, this work was entirely necessary for the entire nation to be spiritually prosperous. All these things we ought to apply to today and to ourselves. What's the work God has assigned you? Whether it be in the life of the church, whether it be in your secular activities, it may be rather mundane work, just as these Levites were given. Maybe it's being a gopher boy on the job site. Maybe it's tidying your room on Saturday morning. Maybe it's doing the laundry, it seems, every day. Maybe it's data entry, or hammering nails, or taking stock of inventory, or serving food to others. The question is, are you faithful? Are you faithful in the little things? As a father, there are many little things that you are called to do. Mundane, ordinary activities. As a mother, there are many little, mundane, ordinary things you are called to do. Are you faithful? Because that's what the king takes delight in. When he gives us work to do, and we're faithful in it. That's what's going on in this passage. Well, in all these things, not only do we see the people being faithful, but we see King Hezekiah leading the way. In all these instructions, and in all his own personal sacrifices, we see Hezekiah restoring a kingly example of godliness. In verses 20 and 21, we read that. And thus did Hezekiah throughout all Judah, and wrought that which was good and right and truth before the Lord his God. And in every work that he began in the service of the house of God, and in the law, and in the commandments, to seek his God, he did it with all his heart and prospered. Throughout these last three chapters, one thing that is emphasized over and over again is Hezekiah's desire to do things properly. Hezekiah is very particular in doing all things just as they were written in the Word of God. He gave attention to all the small details. All the sacrifices were made very carefully. All the priests and the Levites who received support, it was all according to their genealogies. That's what you read. That's the point. To all the genealogies, everything was done correctly. In Hezekiah's reign, all things were done decently and in good order. He had a deep reverence for the Word of God and for the work of God he had as king. That's also what needs to be emphasized in our day. God loves the people who are careful, who are particular with what God says in His Word. And if you read through these chapters in 2 Chronicles very carefully, you will also see that there are comparisons constantly being made between Hezekiah and David, and between Hezekiah and Solomon. The writer of Chronicles is very particular about showing how Hezekiah was a good king, like an ideal king, just like David and Solomon. Hezekiah was faithful. Hezekiah sought the Lord, and Hezekiah worked wholeheartedly, and we read, the Lord prospered him. And the Lord is showing us here, and the Lord was showing the people even after the return from the exile, who were reading this history, God was showing them that the only way to be spiritually prosperous is by following the example that Hezekiah gives. And that's true for us as parents too. Hezekiah trusted the Lord. He took heed to God's word. He worshipped God carefully, and God honored him greatly. And Hezekiah, of course, is a type of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, who walked humbly with his God. Jesus Christ, who said, "It is written," and who was particular with every word of God's word. And Jesus Christ, whom God also highly honored at his own right hand. As we come to the end of 2 Chronicles 31, we come to the end of one section of Hezekiah's life. In these last three sermons on Hezekiah, we have looked at Hezekiah's reformation work. We have seen that the preaching of the prophets Micah and Isaiah was not in vain. Micah and Isaiah spoke of God's judgment upon Judah. And as the book of Jeremiah points out, we see Hezekiah listened to that hard preaching and he led the people in repentance. Going forward in our series on Hezekiah, we're going to begin looking at another section in the life of Hezekiah. We're going to see the political situation Hezekiah found himself in and the troublous times that God brought upon Hezekiah. Even though Hezekiah was pleasing to the Lord, that didn't mean the Lord wasn't going to bring Hezekiah through troublous times. God did have his purposes with those troublous times too. But what we should see now, yet this afternoon, is this. Hezekiah is going to be ready and he's going to be prepared for those very difficult times that are before him because Hezekiah took care in worshiping the Lord properly. Hezekiah took care of the lifestyle changes that needed to take place among the people. Hezekiah took care of living faithfully to God in all the mundane, everyday activities of life. And that's also what prepared Hezekiah for the tumultuous times he would face ahead. 14 years down the road, when Sennacherib comes with his massive army to destroy Jerusalem. It was exactly in this work, and God blessing and guiding Hezekiah and making Hezekiah have a love for the particulars of worshiping the Lord, that the Lord was prospering Hezekiah, getting him ready for the hard times ahead. As we go forward this week, let us follow Hezekiah's example. Let us take heed to the mundane activities God gives us in our life, making sure we are being faithful in those activities. And then as we go forward this week, let us also remember the great reason we have for doing so. We're partakers of Jesus Christ. We have celebrated the Passover, the Lord's Supper. Jesus Christ shed His blood on the cross for complete remission of all my sins, all our sins. We have eternal life, and it's all of God, and it is so all of grace. He has bought us, body and soul, with His own blood. Certainly then, in all the mundane, everyday moments of life, He's worthy of my best, my devotion, and all the glory I can give Him. Nick, remember that in your new calling as father. May Cherith and Erica remember that in their new and their callings as mother. May I be mindful of that in the ordinary work and callings as father. May we remember that as housekeepers, as mothers, as students, as office bearers, hammering nails, doing inventory work, taking stock of food, serving the Lord in the everyday mundane moments of life, knowing that the great King is pleased with our faithful work. Let us be mindful of this walking in God's ways, God will show us in very beautiful and very precious ways that He is good and He is faithful and He does bless us. Hezekiah will have to go through hard times in his life. But Hezekiah will also be brought to see in extraordinary ways how God is Hezekiah's God. Started by God blessing Hezekiah with those changes he and the people made in their everyday lives. May it be so with us. Amen. Let us pray. Father Almighty, we thank Thee for the celebration of the Lord's Supper we had this morning. We thank Thee for the administration of the sacrament of baptism this afternoon. Thou hast given us so much in Jesus Christ. We pray, Father, that in all the callings Thou dost give us, we might serve faithfully. And we might give Thee the honor and glory that is Thy due. Lead us, Father. Give us Thy grace and Thy Spirit to do what we are called to do. And cause us to see Thy blessing and be encouraged as we see Thee prospering us in our ways. Spiritually, giving us the great joy of salvation and living out that joy. Bless this preaching to our hearts and lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.